Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Tim May and Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, football fans of all ages. This is Tim May along with
Bill Rabinowitz.
Bill, it's our pre-Maryland game podcast. The excitement is in the air. I think you could... No, wait a minute, that's snow. I'm seeing snow. But anyway, the excitement's also in the air. I know you're feeling the same way, correct?
Absolutely, Tim. Absolutely. You know, nothing gets your juices going like a Buckeyes-Terps battle.
Yeah, because they've been so close in the past. But I digress. Bottom line is Ohio State's a pretty strong favorite in this game. I think justifiably so. But I'm interested to see how they do handle Maryland's multiple spread, pretty much predominantly run offense, without Terrell Pegram running the show. Now that Kaysom Hill, their previous starter, is out for the year with a torn anterior cruciate ligament in his knee, suffered last week in the in their narrow loss at Indiana. You know, it's as Urban Meyer said on his radio show this week. You know, Maryland pretty much lives by the big play, and we know that's been the bane of Ohio State's defensive existence, with the exception of last week, and whether that's a new trend remains to be seen. But Ohio State's defense did tighten some things up last week. But as even Urban Meyer pointed out, with all due respect to Michigan State's offense, this will be a much more talented offense, he thinks, they're facing this week.
Yeah, that's true, and I think that the last 2 weeks Ohio State's defense has shored things up. I don't think it's a coincidence that that's also been when Brendan White has taken over at safety. It's really solidified the back end of the defense. And just the linebackers played better last week. I think Myers said they only had 3 missed tackles last week after having 20 against Nebraska, or 20 against Purdue and 15 against Nebraska.
Correct.
So that's certainly progress. Yeah, you're right. Michigan State, just with the injuries they've had, they just don't really threaten anybody. But still, you have to stop them. And except for one 47-yard run on a keeper by the backup quarterback, Ohio State really held them, in check. Michigan State did next to nothing. This will be a very different offense. But as you said, Tim, it's hit or miss. I don't think you're going to be looking at 12 play 80-yard drives from Maryland. It's either going to be they get the big play or they don't. Pegram, I don't know how you pronounce it, but I pronounce Pegram. Pegram, he's a small guy, a short guy, so Ohio State can obstruct his vision and maybe get some turnovers or at least get some disruption there. But they've played him before. Kaysom Hill has been hurt the last 2 years. His second year in a row, he's torn his ACL. So it's not like the backup is green.
Well, yeah, but last year, the backup, because Pegram also got hurt last year, right after he came in for Hill and led that upset of Texas, and he got hurt. And then when they played Ohio State, they had a totally different style of quarterback in Max Bortenschlager,
right.
Who I believe is a special during Oktoberfest in some places. But bottom line is, it was nowhere near the same offense that Ohio State will be going against this week. And you're right about it. I think Brendan White has given them a sure-tackling fellow at that other safety. That doesn't mean he's not going to make a mistake here and there. But, you know, he's almost the size of a linebacker, and he's playing with a lot of confidence, in my opinion, of not only knowing where he's supposed to be on a play, but then making plays. And I think that's gone a long way to shoring up some of their out-of-the-gate kind of plays. But we'll see. This is an offense they're facing that, as Urban Meyer and Greg Schiano both pointed out earlier in the week, they use a lot of motion. Sometimes they'll send 1, 2, sometimes 3 guys in motion on one particular play, obviously not all at the same time, because you can't have more than one guy in motion at the snap. But the bottom line is they do a lot of weird things just to create some space for their running game. And we'll see if Pegram can pass the ball a little bit like he had to do last week against Indiana, and did a pretty good job, in my opinion. They got beat 34-32. It was more of the defense giving sway than the offense. And so we'll see what happens there. It's supposed to be a nice sunny day in Maryland. Maybe wind in the 5 to 10 mile an hour range. At least that's the forecast, which I think sets up what really I'm interested in seeing is whether Dwayne Haskins Jr., who's 50 yards away from tying J.T. Barrett's single season passing yardage record, and three touchdown passes away from tying J.T. Barrett's single season record of 36 set last year. I'm interested to see if Dwayne Haskins Jr. walks away with both of those come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Vicky, well, I think it's actually Jermaine's passing record. The single yardage, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But to me, the key to this game and the reason that Ohio State has beaten Maryland by an average of 39 points a game has been that Ohio State, in their previous four meetings, has dominated at the line of scrimmage. And Maryland's got their lines a little more experienced now. It's not going to be such a mismatch. But until Maryland proves that they can be stout at the point of attack, I think Ohio State's got a major advantage. That's why they're favored by whatever it is, 17 points, I think it was earlier in the week. And so that, to me, is the big test. I remember a couple of years ago when we last went to Maryland, maybe it was the first game, and I knew from like the third play of the game, Ohio State was just blasting them at the line of scrimmage, and you knew that Maryland had no chance. I think they've evened the gap, leveled the playing field a little bit, but I still think that Ohio State's got the advantage there. If Maryland can make that a stalemate, then they got a chance. But I just don't know if they can do that.
Yeah, this is a more talented overall Maryland team than 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, DJ Durkin actually was doing a really good job of getting the recruiting underway there. I think they were fourth in the Big Ten the past 2 years in recruiting. And, of course, you know, he was fired abruptly here a couple of weeks ago. He had been suspended the whole season anyway. Matt Canada, the interim head coach, had been running the show. You know, that was all in the wake of the investigation into the tragic, ridiculous death of Jordan McNair, their offensive lineman who collapsed during a late May workout in high heat and basically never recovered and died in June. And, you know, quite a shakeup to the Maryland the Maryland support personnel, and of course losing your head coach for, you know, basically lost him at the beginning of the year from a paid administrative leave, and then boom, as soon as they reinstated him a day later after all the uproar, he was gone. And I think Matt Canada has actually done a hell of a job there keeping some semblance of order and keeping the team focused.
Yeah, they have. They beat Texas in the opener for the second year in a row, which was a stunner given the turmoil that the Terrapins have been under. And so, yeah, they're 5-5. A lot of people thought that after everything they've been through, they would just collapse, and they haven't done that. They've basically beaten the teams that they should beat and lost the teams that people thought they would lose to. And that's kind of been their season. Ohio State would obviously be a team nobody expects them to beat. And that would be obviously the highlight of the year if they could do it. You know, on paper, you think, yeah, you know, there is a chance because they do have big play players. They have guys who can, I think that something like eight players have runs of 30 yards or longer this year. It's a ridiculous stat.
Yeah.
And so, they're capable. But again, I just think that they're not quite at Ohio State's level in terms of talent, especially on the lines. And that's why they play the games, right, Tim?
That is correct, Bill. And the reason we do podcasts is because we have a sponsor. And let's take a break here for a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
You have to stand behind a statement like, quote, the best buying experience in the business, end quote. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest, you have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is telling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales, through manufacturing, through the installation, and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, quote, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business, end quote.
Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to See the Buckeyes.
With all the hype around it, Ohio State, Michigan, number one versus number two, Troy Smith potentially going to win a Heisman Trophy. It was a 3:30 kickoff, so the second half was under the lights. And the atmosphere in that place, I don't think I've ever seen quite like that.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit BuckeyeExtra.com and click on tickets.
We always appreciate the support of our sponsor, right, Bill?
We do, and on a day like this, my Rosati windows are keeping me nice and warm and toasty. How's that for testimony?
It sounds like not only testimony, you may have been signed up as a spokesman. Kudos to you. Bottom line is, this is an interesting game, as you well know, if people listen to our podcasts and read our stuff. But as you well know, way back in August, I was saying this was the game that intrigued me as much as the Purdue game, just on where this game rested in the schedule, smack dab between Michigan State, which has been the stone in Ohio State's shoe ever since Urban Meyer has been at Ohio State, now 7 seasons, and Michigan, the game next week, which is wow, what a collision that's coming. I mean, if you can't see this on radar, you need a new radar. And so to throw this game in there against what I was saying at the time is an improved, more talented Maryland team. Maryland sits 5-5 right now. I do think they're more talented on both sides of the ball, especially when they got a couple of graduate transfers on the defensive side, not the least of which was Trey Watson, the linebacker from Illinois, who's been a playmaker for him. I mean, he leads the team by far in tackles, I think, with like 98. He's got 5 interceptions, which is tied for the second most in the country behind several guys who have 6. I mean, we're not talking about, just linebackers. We're talking about everybody. And so they've been a little bit of a playmaking defense, and like you said, a big play offense. And those are the kind of teams that if you sleep on them a little bit, they can jump up and slap you.
And of course, I think they have 17 interceptions this year, which I think is the most in the country. So yeah, Dwayne Haskins is going to have to be sharp. The protection is going to have to be good. They've got some good quarterbacks. This is not a pushover. I don't want anyone to think that because of what I've said about the lines, that this is automatically a pushover. Maryland's got some good players. They have always had good players. I mean, Stephon Diggs was, played there. I mean,
they didn't have as much. They didn't have as many of them. They didn't have as many of them, though.
Right. I mean, Tavon Jacobs is a guy that Maryland's receiver who was at, I believe, an Ohio State commitment at one point and then flipped to Maryland. And so, they do compete. And I know you're doing your recruiting story this week on Ohio State's recruiting in that area. It's a very fertile area. Larry Johnson, when he was at Penn State, went to town in that area. And it's still a crucial area. Think about the players on Ohio State from Maryland. Obviously, Haskins, Isaiah Prince is from there. Keandre Jones, I believe, right?
Keandre Jones. Correct. From Ole Miss, good counsel.
Right. Yeah. Who else am I missing?
Well, it's funny. Is Teron Vincent actually went to the Bullis School, or not the Bullis School, went to, I think, the Gilman School up until he was a sophomore, and then he transferred to the IMG Academy down in Florida. But he's from that area, too, His dad, Troy Vincent, was a longtime NFL star. But yeah, there are quite a few, and you look around the country. Alabama's got players from that area. You name almost any major program, and they've either got somebody from there or they're trying to get somebody from there. And it's really been funny because the D.C. area. I didn't really get into this in my story, but District of Columbia, I think, has gone from like 12 high schools playing football like maybe 15 years ago to now well into the 20s. That's one of the few places in America where football is actually expanding in high school football. And they've got a program there, St. John's, which is Ohio State's recruiting guys from that area, from that school also. But St. John's, their desires become the IMG of the Mid-Atlantic. There's all kinds of reasons why that football is going to get better and better. And DJ Durkin was doing a good job of recruiting the in-home or homegrown talent. And so we'll see where that goes now, I don't know if you'd call it the Matt Canada era yet, because obviously he hadn't been named the permanent head coach, but they're definitely in another transitional stage.
Yeah, and they've got Under Armour money. They put a lot of money into that program, and so they're a program that if you look at the quote unquote have-nots of the Big Ten East, in other words, one of the ones that's not the Big Four, they're the ones that are most poised and most able to make a jump if things go their way. If they're a little bit like Rutgers, that they're a better version of Rutgers, certainly, and then if they could just keep their homegrown talent at home, they could be really good. Rutgers has never, at least since Graciano left, never been able to do that. hasn't obviously locked down all the players that they want to get there. But Maryland is one of those teams that in a given year, if they get their, they can knock you off. And so it'll be fascinating to see in years ahead. You know, who knows what's going to happen to the program, who they hire. But there's a little bit of a sleeping giant to Maryland.
I've always been interested in that program now because number one, that's where Bear Bryant got his first job as a head coach. I think he stayed there 1 year and decided they weren't committed enough to football, so he went to Kentucky. And shared.
What's your connection with Bear Bryant?
And shared
many listeners.
And shared the same sphere, the same sun as Adolph Rupp. You know, and Adolph Rupp, I think, took up most of that sun. But they had a good thing going. I thought several years ago with Ralph Friedgen. I don't think they realized it,
right.
And because you know. A lot of programs like a Maryland are going to have some ups and downs, you know, and you've got to ride the downs to get to the ups. And a lot of these schools, they get, I'm not going to say they get rich quick, so to speak, with a really good head coach, but then they wonder why they can't stay on par with an Ohio State or a Penn State or a Michigan. And, they're just not quite that kind of program. But they definitely, Maryland can be an attractive program if they get their act together, that is for sure. So, you know, it'll be interesting.
Right, like Bill Mallory at Indiana, places like
yeah,
that.
But, he finally got run off from Indiana because they thought they could do better. You know,
right.
Glenn Mason at Minnesota, they thought they could do better. They've been striving for years to get back to the Glenn Mason era, you know. So you kind of get what you deserve, in my opinion. Sometimes instead of just looking at things from the big picture perspective, but you know what, Bill, I think my pick for this game is something like Ohio State 41, maybe Maryland 15, some kind of weird oddball score. Where are you going with this?
You know what? I've not done my pick yet, so I've not thought about it. You know, probably in that range. I think Maryland will score some points against Ohio State. I just don't think that Ohio State, I don't think Maryland's defense, I mean, I know they're Urban Meyer keeps saying the top 20, they're actually 30th in the country, but as I said earlier, they've lost to the teams that people thought they would lose to, and I think this will be one of those cases. I think Ohio State, the thing I want to see is, can Ohio State get the run and the pass going in the same game? They haven't really done that for a while now, and that's what I want to see. That's what they need to do going into the Michigan game, because Michigan's defense is legitimately great, and I just want to see if Ohio State can do that. So, you know, I don't have a score in mind, but I guess we'll have to come up with one soon. But, I think what you said is probably that's probably along the lines of what I'm thinking.
That's funny because I wrote my Friday story last week before the Michigan State game is – Will you finally see Ohio State put the combo together, the running game and the passing game? And the funny thing about it, I mean, you know, you're never anticipating the kind of weather they played in last week, you know, with high wind,
right.
Fairly high wind, which does affect your passing game no matter who you've got at quarterback. And then the running game, where I gave Ohio State credit was – and you and I talked about this on our earlier podcast this week. You know, they kind of stuck to their knitting, and it finally paid off in the fourth quarter. They kept running the ball, especially with Mike Weber, and he goes up over 100 yards against a defense that was giving up 71.7 average in the country, number one in the nation, that defense by Michigan State. So I think you'll find a little easier sledding on both sides in both aspects of that, both the passing and the running on Saturday, and we'll see if they can get that balance that they truly have desired since the mid-year. But, like I said, the jury's still out for me on the Ohio State defense and on the Ohio State running game. And I think Dwayne Haskins Jr., given decent weather, and his wide receiver core are up to the task.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I think it's important for Ohio State to really show before the Michigan game that they can go into that game having all facets of their game clicking. They have not really done that all year, at least not for a long time. And I think that they need to show that before this game because Michigan is going to be a test like they have not had this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll tell you what, we'll be back. We'll posit something late Saturday after the game's over and on what we just saw and then looking ahead to what promises to be, you know, maybe elimination game number one for the Big Ten on whether it gets into the college football playoff, and that will be Ohio State hosting Michigan next week. I mean, promises to be a hell of a game no matter what the score is. But until then, this is Tim May.
And Bill Rubin, thanks for listening.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.